I'm Josh.
And tonight we're going to talk about the best games of Generation 8. That is Xbox One, PS4, and we just got to deciding that that would be Wii U as well. When we get to that, I have some opinions, but I don't really have any thoughts on the Wii U because I never really played it. But before we talk about that, we got a little bit of news too. Let's talk about some games that we've been playing. Andrew.
Yes.
You said today in a text, I'm not going to quote you because I'm not quoting you. You said, I looked in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I said. You know, I'm still having trouble finding a game to play.
Right.
And I even, like I told you, I started playing Wind Waker on the Wii U. Cool. And played that for a little while. Not speaking to me anymore. Started playing God of War.
Okay.
The 2018 God of War. Because I went to see the Northmen last weekend.
Oh, shit. I didn't know they released.
Yeah, and that's as Alex is dying over there.
Yeah.
No big that's deal. It's a Viking movie. Okay. So since it was a Norse movie, I was like, huh, this makes me want to play God of War. So I came home, downloaded it, played it for a couple hours. Not speaking to me anymore. And so I looked inside myself. I said, Andrew, I looked inward in my mind. And I looked in
the
mirror. I looked in my mind mirror. And I said, let's cut the bullshit here. And then something stared at me back in the mirror. And a voice said, let us start playing. And Persona 5 Royal showed up in the mirror. And I was like, yes. Why not? A game that I put 130 hours into. Why not? A game that I said is my favorite game of all time when we did our top 10 list. A game that I still would put at number one on that list since we did that list.
Okay.
I'm going to try playing it again.
You might want to get your sanity checked. If you're seeing that in the mirror, that's not good.
Yes. Well, look, everyone, you know, mirrors have a lot of different meanings in life. You know, mirrors can be a look into one's soul in a lot of different religions. So maybe I looked into my gaming soul, and that's what I saw in the mirror.
Thank you for joining our spiritual podcast.
Yes.
Alex.
Our spiritual leader here.
Have you been looking inward lately?
I have.
What would you see if you looked in your mind mirror? What game would look back at you?
Well, that game would be. I looked in the mirror and I went, "What's for me?" Mirror, and the mirror goes, "Fucking, I don't know, child support." I don't know why I said that.
What was that?
Did you say child support?
I don't know why.
I thought you said child sport.
Nope, child support. I thought that was kind
of child support.
No,
okay.
I did not look in the mirror, and I did not look inward. I traded in some old games and picked up Link's Awakening for the Switch. I hadn't played the re-release version, which I believe
was
2018, 2019, right?
Yep.
Something like that. Okay. And it is pretty cool. I've played I've played a decent amount of Link's Awakening, you know, in different places. But I love the art design of this. It's really awesome. And it kind of just brings the game more to life, kind of the way that we, I guess, originally saw it in our heads when we were playing it back on, you know, Game Boys and lesser powerful machines. But it's really cool. I love the art style. I think it's a really fun game. So I think it's pretty dope. I actually hope I can see this one through to the end because I've never really beaten any of the old school 2D Zelda games. And I would love to start doing that because I think some of them are classics, and some of the best games are made on Link to the Past. But yeah, I not very far. I got the sword, and then I went to the forest, and that's all I did.
So
it's not a very long game.
I don't think it is.
I've seen online people say you can beat it like 8 to 10 hours.
Well, that's not bad.
So I tried playing this last year.
Okay.
And the game runs like ass.
It does. Say that. It does. And I thought maybe I was the only one, and then I started seeing.
No,
I started, like,
you were not the only one.
Wow,
I stopped playing it because of that. It was,
no shit.
There was points that it would just, the frame rate was so bad. And I played mainly on handheld when I was playing it. And it was the stuttering would get like slideshow at certain points. And
Someone is breaking into someone's car.
yes, we've had a rash of break-ins right outside my
Oh,
house
fuck.
currently.
Oh, God damn it. I'm down the street. Fuck.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that. Yeah.
Yeah, literally down the street. I literally have always gone down the street most of your life. That is weird as fuck to say
Yeah.
on the same. What the
Yep.
fuck? Anyways.
It's like you two
You
had meant to
know,
be together.
quick
Oh, God.
side, a quick
Sidebar.
non sequitur real quick. At work today, my guy I work with, he's a new employee, started
Okay.
there, a couple months ago. I found out last week that he has a little brother that he, because I asked him how his days off went, and he was like, oh, you know, I had to get up early to make sure my little brother got in the bus and stuff. And he came into work today and I asked him, I was like, hey, you said you had a little brother, and I was like, how old is he? And he was like, oh, you know, he told me how old he was. And I was like, oh, and I said, so when he gets home from school, like, is there anyone there at home that let him inside? And he was like, oh yeah, you know, there's usually his brother or his mom's there, whatever. I was like, oh, you know, just making sure. And then he left to go in the cleaning room, and I thought for a second, I was like, huh, I can see how he might look at that and be like, those are some weird fucking questions. Why is he asking how old
Oh
my brother is and if there's someone there at home when he gets home from school?
So yeah,
So I went in there, I was like, hey, I apologize if those questions came off really weird. Like, I can see how someone might be like, hey, does your little brother, is there anyone at home when he gets off from school or something? And I was like, I was only asking you this only on the basis of, are you going to be able to make it to work on all these days? Like, that's the only reason I was wondering. And he was like, oh no, you're good. Like, that's, I didn't think you meant anything
Oh man,
malicious
that's
by it. And
funny
I
as
was like,
fuck.
well, good,
That's
because
funny
I
as
could
hell.
see how that could come off like
Oh,
and then he goes, it occurred to me as someone who meant it maliciously would say, I didn't mean it maliciously.
right?
Gotcha now,
Yeah.
motherfucker. Bah, bah, bah.
So that
All
was an awkward thing that happened today.
Oh, God, that's good.
Lock up your kids, people.
Yeah.
Please, please, please do that. League Swiggity runs like ass, yes. I'm gonna continue playing it and check it out. If it does get worse frame rate wise, I don't have a problem bouncing from it. The other game I, excuse me, picked up was Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Oh, nice.
So my first question is, are the storylines based on, like, basically, not word for word, but like scene by scene? Like,
So
am I playing the story basically, or is there stuff that's like not?
you are playing the story.
Right.
Now, I will say, I've seen a lot of people say this online, and I agree with them that instead of calling it Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, they really should have called it Dragon Ball Z Gohan, because you actually spend more time playing as Gohan than you do as playing as Kakarot.
Weird.
But I messaged you and I said that it is, in my opinion, the best Dragon Ball Z game I've ever played, knowing that that bar isn't very high. There have been some really shitty Dragon Ball Z games. But this game is, it was really good. I platinum it. I put like 60 hours into it to get
Nice,
to
that's
platinum.
not bad.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Josh. Would you say that the highs of this game equaled or even surpassed the highs of playing the old Budokai games for the first time back on PS2?
I would say no, but they're different games, and
Yeah.
this game is better mechanically. You know, it obviously you can't compare playing those games as a kid. You know, like the wonderment of, I just got
Yeah.
done watching the show and now I'm playing a video game of this. You know, it was great, but video game wise, this is, in my opinion, the best Dragon Ball Z video game.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, so I don't remember much of the Saiyan saga, which is where I'm at right now. So I'm kind of like, oh man, this is pretty cool. I remember Raditz. I remember the bald man. I think the other guy's Vegeta. Might be someone else. I can't remember.
Wait, the bald man?
I don't know his name. Baldy McGrindy. What the fuck's his name?
Excuse me,
you mean
it's Nappa.
Nappa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, Nappa. That's his fucking name. Sure, whatever.
Just think of Nappa Auto Parts and you got it.
Yeah.
So it's a very fun game combat wise. I really love the combat. I think that's really a unique, cool, quick pace. You know, quick change of pace at times. And it doesn't feel too difficult. It doesn't feel too hard. It just feels like you're both just dudes trying to fight each other. Oh, hey, just woke up. Sorry, Sarah just woke up and she's been asleep for 9 years. Sorry. But it does feel like it feels like you're watching a fight happen in the TV show. It's pretty cool. What the fuck is a Soul Emblem and why the hell should I care about it?
Okay, so there's different color Soul Emblems in the game, and they're all around the open world.
Yeah, the blue, the green, the red.
Yep. And then you also get them for completing, like, you can like get them in, like, battles and stuff, and then you get them from, like, doing, like, quests and stuff. Okay. And so then when you go into there's like a character upgrade screen, which okay. I don't know if it's available right at the beginning.
No, but I've seen it. You can't access it, but it's there. Like, you can
yeah, so eventually there's a character upgrade screen. Wow. And you can increase, like, for example, like, the strength of some of your supers. Increase the strength of, like, for example, okay. like when Goku goes Super Saiyan, it increases the amount of extra damage he does.
Okay, that makes sense. Because
it can unlock, like, better combos and stuff.
Okay, because you get, like, the big circular ones with the characters' faces on them, and I don't know what they do exactly either. Like, I don't understand that concept. Now, the Soul Emblems, that makes sense. What the hell?
And then,
that?
So the other things that to where it is, like, emblems with, like, character faces mm-hmm. on it. There's, like, these game boards that, and there's different categories of these boards, and you put these characters on it, and if you put characters next to them that have special connections with each other,
okay.
you get more powerful stats.
Got it.
There's one with I think it's King Kai's kind of like game board, and if you level that up, you get much more experience. Leveling that up. And one of my favorite things in the game was, like, the transformations, because once you unlock the transformations, like, for example, you know, Goku, you can unlock his transformations to where you could, like, during a battle, you could go Super Saiyan, you could go Super Saiyan 2, or you can go Super Saiyan 3. But when you go the higher Super Saiyan levels, it drains your ki faster. And so it's kind of a risk reward. You know, if you go Super Saiyan, you're not going to do as much damage, but you won't use your ki as fast. And then toward the very end of the game, when you get your upgrade skill trees all the way up, you unlock these skills to where when you go into a battle, you auto transform, and then your ki doesn't drain. So for example, like, I go into a battle with Goku, he automatically transforms into Super Saiyan 3, and his ki doesn't drain, and he's just a beast.
Damn. Okay. Cool. Because he doesn't transform until Super.
Yeah. I mean, that's you're talking about in game Super Saiyan 3 and stuff.
Yeah. That's dope. Okay. So my two last observations, and then we can move on to you, Josh. One, I forget Master Roshi is a pervert, and they literally talk about him being a pervert.
Big pervert. Yep.
He's the definition of a horny old guy.
They literally say, oh yeah, I forgot how much of a pervert he is. What the fuck? Okay. And two, wrestling is absolutely just anime, and anime is absolutely just wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just one guy trying to fight another guy constantly. That's all it is, and it's great as fuck. I just forget, who's that guy? I'm Piccolo. I'm going to beat your ass. Like, this is great. It's so gordy. I love it.
So there's a, you also get support characters that, so there's playable characters. And so you got Goku, Gohan, Vegeta, Piccolo, and, Team Trunks. And so you have those five, but then you have support characters such as, like, Krillin, Yamcha, Tien, and so on and so forth. And those people, you can add them to your party to join you in fights. You just can't play as them. And then you can tell your teammates to do supers, and, you know, they're do supers. And then once you, I don't remember what it's called, but there's this thing to where, and it's like a super attack to where all three of you do like a super attack together. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Because I literally just got Piccolo. We just got to that first. Oh, he's your companion, and then I haven't done anything else. So I'm super stoked to play more of it. I wonder if this will get me into watching some Dragon Ball. Maybe something like, I don't know.
And then, so I didn't grind a whole lot in the game. Well, there was some certain parts of the game to where I did have to grind just a little bit to get, like, you know, character level up. Okay. The good thing though, is
it
that
it doesn't seem like it's too grindy or the grind.
Yeah, the good thing is that the further you proceed in the game, for example, you'll see like you start seeing enemies that are much higher level than you. But then, if you haven't played as Goku for a while, then you play as Goku again. His level is much higher than what it was previously because he's been training the whole time.
Okay, interesting.
So the game kind of helps you keep up with level wise, like where you're supposed to be.
So, it seems really cool. It looks great. It plays fine. I have had no problems with it, so I'm stoked to kind of check more of it out.
I really wish we could get a sequel, but I just don't know what to do a sequel about. Because I mean, they pretty much cover all of Dragon Ball Z and even a little bit of Super.
Do they do Cell Saga?
Yeah, they go all the way from the Saiyan Saga all the way through the end of the Majin Buu Saga.
He sucks up dudes with his tail, and it's very fucking strange. I love it. All right, Josh, have you been playing any weird-ass anime wrestling video games? Or...
I have not. I was playing some more Super Mario 3D Land on my 3DS. Nice. I completed... Nice. So there's 8 worlds. I completed those. I beat Bowser. I got done with that. And then what I didn't know is that after that, there's 8 special... There's a whole other 8 special worlds you have to do. And so really, I'm only like halfway done with the game. I'm not sure if I'm going to go through the other 8 worlds. But because I mean, I'd be like the main story and stuff, but I might eventually. I've been playing a little bit more Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. My plan was to beat it this past week, but then I was thinking to myself that I was really bummed out that The Witcher 3 next gen patch was delayed, and I was asking myself, do I just want to start playing Witcher 3 again? And I was like, I do, but then I was like, remembering that when I played Witcher 3 last time, there's just so much context from the previous Witcher games that I didn't even know about. And I'm like, wouldn't it be great if I played through Witcher 2 and then I go into Witcher 3 later on in the year, and there's so much context that I'm privy to now. And so that's what I started doing. I have The Witcher 2 on backwards compatibility on my Xbox Series X, and I've been playing that. The game does have Series X enhancements to where it has auto HDR, and then the game has been upscaled to 4K. It does not have FPS boost, unfortunately, so it runs at 30 frames. And I'm probably like 5 or 6 hours into it so far, and it's definitely different than The Witcher 3. There's definitely a lot of similarities, and I can definitely see where how it went into Witcher 3, like the upgrades and stuff the game had. It's not an open world game. There's like open areas, but it's not like open world, go wherever you want. But I mean, I really enjoy Geralt's storyline. I read a line like what happens in Witcher 1, and I guess like the game ends in some like big climactic battle in which Geralt dies, but then he's somehow revived by unknown means, but he loses his memory. And so The Witcher 2 is all about trying to regain his memory. And also he was protecting a king. His name is King Foltest, and an assassin who's also a Witcher killed the king, and Geralt was framed for his murder. And so not only is he trying to regain his memory, he's trying to clear his name of murder and not to be known for regicide, which is a word I found out that this is what is called when you kill a king. It's called a regicide.
Oh, I've seen that term before. I've never heard it. Cool. I think I also had this game on backwards compatibility, and I don't think I've ever really played it. I was never the biggest Witcher 3 guy. I understood what it was, what it did, and what it accomplished, but it's got some hiccups. I always have it. I have the game. So, like, if I ever really want to go back and check it out one day. And I should, and maybe I will when the 4K update hits. Maybe I'll actually give it a solid chance. But, Andrew, have you ever played Witcher, dude?
Yeah, I've tried it before. But because I bought it when it first came out on 360 and didn't really get into it. And I tried it again after I beat Witcher 3. But I think it was just, like, too different. Right. That I was so used to Witcher 3 that I just couldn't go back.
Okay. Anything? Excuse me. Anything else, Josh?
That's it for me. Andrew, was there anything else you've been playing other than Persona 5?
Well, I haven't actually started playing that yet.
No. Oh. He just came to the rationalization.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you've been playing other than, I know you said you're dabbling in God of War a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of Apex here and there, but that's pretty much it. All
right. Well, Josh, if you have nothing else, Andrew, why don't you get us, why don't you tell us about the news?
All right. And we're going to start out with happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Whose birthday is it?
Kirby turned 30 years old.
Kirby, you old son of a bitch. Go get your fucking heart pills, you bastard.
On April 27th.
Join the rest of us, you dick. Oh.
Yep, so 30 years ago, 2 days ago, was when Kirby first made his debut on, I'm trying to see, Kirby's Dream Land, which on Game Boy.
Hasn't Kirby's Dream Land been remade or released somewhere?
Probably. They've definitely been re-released a bunch of times. But yeah, I think it's cool. Nintendo's had a lot of, like, in the past, like, couple years, a lot of, like, big anniversaries for characters. I'm sure glad they're, you know, they did a ton with Zelda's 35th anniversary, right?
Yeah, they did so much. I'm so glad I got everything I ever asked for.
Yep.
Even though in a way we kind of did with the N64 expansion.
I mean, listen,
if there was a camera, I would push it to my face right now. You sell me any fucking Zelda package, I will give you money, your shirt off my back. You want my kid? You can maybe have him.
Maybe.
Depends on what you're giving.
I mean, we'll talk about it.
Are you giving me Wind Waker? You give me Wind Waker, Ocarina,
yeah,
and Majora's? Yeah, take him right now. Sorry, buddy, I love you, but goddamn, he's got to play.
Yeah, I would love if Sarah just, like, side-eyes you. Right.
Well, the best thing is, I went outside, and she can't hear shit, even though she's around the corner. She can't hear a damn thing.
Funny.
Yeah, I'm surprised, Kirby. It's weird to keep hearing, like, Kirby's 30 years old. Everything you like is old as you are, mm-hmm, because you're old, you bastard. I'm just like, I'm old.
Yeah.
Makes me feel sad.
Do you guys remember seeing back in the 90s those Kirby commercials where someone was, this guy was interrogating some other guy in like jail, and he kept talking about, like, Kirby, and he had,
yeah,
these
we've talked about this before, yeah.
He had these pink marshmallows.
Uh-huh. It was really weird. Definitely, like, had a huge, those.
Yeah.
I think Kirby would make a really good handbag.
Handbag,
not a purse, but like a, like, almost like a bowling ball bag. You just hold him by his fucking arms or whatever he wants to make.
Like a fanny pack, maybe.
No. It's one of those bags. It's like a bowling bag. You know, it's got a zipper in the middle with two, you know, straps on top. You fold it open, you put something in there, because Kirby's mouth just opens up. So he just like, feed me.
I mean, I was thinking more like, can you make, like, a Nintendo themed fleshlight or something?
You could, but I think all the perverts in Japan already have them, and that's why they never came here. Because that's just too much for us to handle.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kirby. I'm very sorry that you have become a
I'm not sorry for that, like, he's turned 30. I mean, he had arguably the best Kirby game ever just come out, at least like, reception wise. I mean, it's the
you age like fine wine, and that's what that man has done until age 30, releasing a fun game again. So
he closed out his 20s. Now he's gonna, we'll see how he does in his 30s.
Exactly. Yep.
And hopefully, he'll settle down, get a mortgage, get a good job.
Now moving from a delay, the Super Mario movie has been delayed.
Holy fuck, Chris Pratt said the N-word, didn't he? That's why they delayed it. God damn it, I knew it.
Yeah.
Like, I can use the man Chris Pratt like, oh no.
Yeah. Can you imagine Mario's voice doing that?
No, I can't.
Oh my god.
Okay. I'm sure it's out there. Somewhere. So
this was delayed, I think it'd be the funniest thing I heard was like Jeff Gerstmann's take on this, and they're just going, "We're gonna let that blue little bastard beat us. We fucking put him in the dirt."
Yeah. Well, you know what
Sonic is doing, so at the box office, they're like, nothing.
The funniest thing about this was how it was announced. Was Miyamoto was the one that tweeted it.
Are you sure?
He starts his tweet just saying, "This is Miyamoto."
Miyamoto, don't you know he's on a hostage? This is actually real. I'm
after consulting with Chris-san, my partner at Illumination Studios on the Super Mario Brothers film, we decided to move the global release to spring of 2023, 28th in Japan and April. Deepest apologies, but I promise it will be well worth the wait. That's like an old. It's exactly like how an old person when you answer and they're like,
"Yes,
this is your grandfather." You're like, "Yeah, I know. Like, I saw your name when you called me." Like that's
okay.
Cool. We still
don't know much about this movie. That's how if Miyamoto were to physically mail that message to all of the fans, and you open a letter and it says, "This is Miyamoto." Okay, I can understand that. But he tweeted it, and it's like, yeah, we get it. We know this is Miyamoto.
Yeah, yep. But anyway, I was saying, like, we still don't know hardly anything about this movie.
No, we've seen nothing about it. For all we know, it literally
even
doesn't.
What the story is, yeah. How much is Chris Pratt going to talk? He's going to talk a lot, and it's not going to sound like the traditional. Already going to be weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's they got isn't Jack Black Bowser?
Is he Bowser
or Donkey Kong?
No,
he's one of those two.
No, Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's funny.
Yeah.
Movie.
Oh yeah, Jack Black is Bowser. You're right.
And Charlie Day's Luigi, Anatole yep. Taylor Joy.
So do you find it weird that in this year and next year Jack Black is voicing two characters from video games, and one is Claptrap and the other is Bowser?
Hold the fuck up. Fred Armisen is playing Cranky Kong? That's funny to me, and I don't know why.
Frank Kong's in this, but
I don't know why Fred Armisen's in this fucking.
Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's they. And I mean, I really thought a couple years ago like Jack Black was like retiring from acting, but then
yeah. Speaking of the Borderlands movie, apparently they actually showed off a little bit of footage at the CinemaCon.
Yeah, but I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, they haven't shown. Public yet, which kind of pisses me off. Like, cool, you showed it there. If you can show it to them, then you can show it to the public. Like, let's fucking go. Show us what the movie
looks
like.
I was reading that the impression was that it looks like a Borderlands product, which is, it's good, but also it's like we saw the horrific Monster Hunter game. I mean, movie, and I'm just like, I'm worried that this is just gonna be a horrific Borderlands movie.
I don't know, because that whole Monster Hunter movie literally had nothing to do with the game of Monster Hunter. It just had to do with, you now hunt monsters. They just took the name Monster Hunter and made it into a literal fucking movie. Just the name Monster Hunter. I have a feeling that the Borderlands movie is going to be as corny as we think it's going to be. Like, and not bad, not even bad corny, just like humor corny. I don't know. I'm excited because I want to see what Kevin Hart looks like. I want to see what all these people look like as their characters. Jamie Lee Curtis is in this bit. That's fucking weird.
Who's too old to be Tannis? But
dude,
also
I'm not gonna lie. She's not as old as you think, but she's not as young as you think. So it's like, oh.
The chick playing Lilith is also too old.
Who the fuck is playing Lilith? That's too old.
Isn't it?
Andrew, pull that up for me.
It's a chick from Lord of the Rings. She played like the Elf Queen.
Oh.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
No.
Was it? Not Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow in fucking Lord
of the Rings. I can't remember who played her in the Lord of the Rings movies. I'm sorry.
Cate Blanchett.
That's it, yeah.
Janina Gavankar is playing.
Who the fuck is Larry? Who's Larry? Because that's Bobby Lee. And that sounds amazing.
I don't know who Larry is. Larry must be a character created for the movie.
That's what it says. This cast. Bobby Lee. Larry. Roland. Yeah, that's weird. Let's go on to the next topic.
Yeah, so next topic. The next Call of Duty has been officially announced.
Yeah, fucking ass. Let's go, baby.
And it's Modern Warfare 2.
Hell yeah, it is. You know what it fucking isn't? World War 2. You know what it fucking also isn't? Not any other assy game. The last good fucking Call of Duty game was Modern Warfare. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
Amazing. Such a good fucking game.
I mean, it's the one that Warzone came out of.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not Black Ops Cold War. It's not a fucking World War 2 game, which I literally never even considered playing.
And so
I am so excited for this.
So they announced what the game is going to be centered around, mm-hmm. and I don't remember the original Modern Warfare 2 being about the Colombian drug cartels.
Wasn't about Russia.
Well, this either like this. This is not
like every Call of Duty game's fucking
playing. This is not a reimagining of Modern Warfare 2. This is a sequel.
Yeah, I know, but it's weird because the Modern Warfare that came out 3 years ago was a reimagining of the first Modern Warfare. So hearing that this one isn't a reimagining of Modern Warfare 2 is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that'll come out this year, and then next year we won't have one, apparently. So this one actually 2 years to breathe.
To me, that's like the NFL going, hey, we're not going to have a Super Bowl this year, guys. We're going to skip a year.
Sorry, no Super Bowl this year.
Yep. So speaking of the NFL real quick, Alex, how did you feel about the Bears drafting?
I like them. I think those are the safety and the quarterback.
Who did draft?
Their first pick, was he a cornerback?
Yeah, he was Kyler Gordon from Washington, and the other guy was Jaquan Brisker.
But you're not disappointed in trying to go with like a receiver or something?
No, I think I think there's a lot of wide receivers in this draft. I like a lot of guys. I like that they're just going, hey, you know when everyone scored touchdowns on us? Let's not make that happen again. That's cool with me.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you could have Justin Fields throw to a fucking beanbag. It doesn't really matter. Because they're not going to win anything, but you have to stop people from scoring. Yeah. Like, that is, to me, the biggest problem with that team. You cannot let people keep scoring. You got to at least give yourself a shot to score again. Like, your defense cannot just – it's just ass. But, I think they're fine picks, and they're going to be taking here in about maybe 10 minutes or so.
I think in the past several years, the Bears' sideline was, hey, the more time they score, the more we get the ball back.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty – boom.
Back to games, keeping it close to Activision here. Microsoft announced when the Xbox and Bethesda showcase is, and it is June 12th on a Sunday. I'm very happy because I have that Sunday off, so I'll be able to watch it while I'm not working.
I'm very fine.
It is at noon, so I kind of wish they would do a more like a prime time slot at night, but I guess it's neither here nor there.
I think noon is a fine time.
I'll come over and watch it with you.
Okay. Alex, you're more than welcome too. So you know, you're not doing anything. Obviously there's stuff that's pretty obvious that we're gonna see. We're gonna see Starfield. Mm-hmm. I expect we're gonna get
the logo itself, like for the event, looks like something.
Yeah. I'm expecting that we're probably like a 10 minute thing for Starfield.
Oh, at least.
Obviously, Todd Howard's gonna be on stage. We know that's gonna happen. Well, I don't know what else, but I mean, I'm sure there'll be other Bethesda stuff there. Obviously, I'm not sure what else. Microsoft wise, I think that obviously we're gonna see Redfall. Because that's they mm-hmm. said it's the other that's 2022 a summer title. So,
I think we're absolutely going to see Fable. We're absolutely going to have to see. Well, come on, it's been 3 years. Like, you have to show something. It's been 3 years. You have to show Fable. You have to show Avowed. You have to show those two at least. Are the only other two that I would 100% guarantee have to be there. Because if they're not there, we should worry.
I don't think they show Avowed. Because Avowed is not a title coming out this year, and well, I think
but neither is Fable. But like, I think you have to show some kind of
update. Sure,
kind of sizzle reel, something.
I wouldn't rule out that they might have an update for it, but I don't think they're gonna have like a big blowout. Like, here's what it looks like. Here's gameplay and stuff. Because I think that would actually, I think Avowed is really going to wow people. See what I did there, and not even a laugh, really. My God, fuck you guys. I think the game's gonna look really good, and I think that they don't want people being like, "Wow, that game looks really good." Compared to what Bethesda,
we got some breaking news here.
Okay.
I pick 71 in the third round. The Bears select Valais Jones, wide receiver from Tennessee. He's pretty decent. He's fine. Cool. Anyways, continue. Sorry, okay. I want to be breaking because I'm fine.
I don't think they want to show Avowed because I think that people will look at that game and go, holy shit, that game looks incredible compared to what Bethesda's been doing with, like, it looks incredible to Skyrim, which obviously it's going to, but since Bethesda hasn't put out anything like that in a while, I don't think they want to make Bethesda look bad with Starfield being there. So I think that's my look on it. So I don't think that, because Avowed is going to be a title in the same way as like a big epic, like a Skyrim. So with Starfield being there, I don't think they're going to focus on Avowed also. But yeah, I do agree. I think we see Fable. I think maybe even we see more Hellblade 2. I think it's very possible. Totally.
Anything we saw that tried to kick off the beginning of the Xbox Series generation, I think we have to start seeing it. It's too late, and I think they have stuff to show. I just think they've been waiting for time.
Things I don't think we'll see. I don't expect to see Everwild. I don't expect to see State of Decay 3. I don't expect to see Outer Worlds 2. I do expect to see Forza Motorsport 8. However, I do not think it's coming out this year.
Okay. So you really don't think Everwild? You don't think they're going to show anything?
No, because that game...
Not even
that
one game's... of those weird developer updates with, like...
Yeah, but that game has been reported last year that game was... It was pretty much scrapped, and they started over on it. So I think that's why we're not going to see anything on it.
Okay.
I think we do see stuff on Perfect Dark, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. I thought that was kind of in turmoil for a little bit. Had a little bit of...
Yeah, but I think that hasn't been confirmed, so I think they're going to show something to try and ease people and be like, listen, this game, it's still on track, and we're still good. And then there's going to be surprises, too. There's got to be. There's got to be some games that we don't know about that are going to announce. I think that we'll get some, maybe a cool Halo announcement. Not a new game or anything, but I mean like...
Maybe like a season, a new update, or new
battle season. Totally, maybe even like a tease for some, because I assume they're going to do some single-player DLC.
Yeah, maybe some event that's lined around that. That would make sense.
Yeah. Maybe some kind of newer, like a smaller acquisition for another studio or something.
Maybe. I could see some of the indie stuff. I could see some more stuff coming to Game Pass. Really, like, they're in a great position to start showing stuff that they've been working on, and I think that's what they're going to do, because I think they have they're starting to sell more consoles. They're starting to pick up the pace here.
Yeah, and that's also, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be crazy Game Pass announcements.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. I think we're going to see some of the Call of Duties. We might see some Activision stuff. I could totally see that being like,
I think there's going to be, I'm obviously, we're going to eventually, we'll do our predictions for this conference later toward it. But I think one of my predictions will probably be that they're going to announce a launch date Game Pass for a AAA game, like a third party game that comes out this fall. Ooh, I think that they're going to announce date and date with the Game Pass. So
I could absolutely see it. I could see it via sports title too. Like, that would make sense.
Like, what if they're like, obviously it's going to happen down the road as long as everything goes through. But what if they're like Modern Warfare 3 Game Pass day one?
Oh, absolutely. I could see it. Like, well, like I said, they're in such good position to really just knock it out of the park. And I think that they're ready. I think they had all the ammo. They showed some of it. They haven't showed all of it, but they've showed enough to be like, okay, well, here's it is. We have the generation. Yeah. We're starting here. We have enough. We're ready to go.
And
anything outside of that, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, what else I think that this year is going to be is, and that's, this isn't just for the Microsoft Bethesda conference. This is also for whatever Sony does. And because they're going to do one, probably obviously not at the same time, but maybe in July, August, somewhere around there, maybe also in June. I think this goes for Sony, Microsoft, and I wouldn't say Ubisoft or EA.
Square, maybe
Square. They haven't really made announcements, but I think this is going to be the year where we realize, holy shit, Unreal 5 is going to be a game changer for games. We're going to see a bunch of games running on Unreal 5 because we haven't really seen yet. We've seen Hellblade. Hellblade 2 is the only game that we've seen so far running on Unreal 5, and I think we're going to see a bunch more games this year. We're going to say, this is what the next gen consoles can do. I think this is the year we realize that. Obviously, no games are going to come out yet that realize that.
No, but I think you'll be like a sizzle reel or some. You know, you're totally going to see more of the Made in Unreal Engine 5 things here and there.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you think? Do you think that Microsoft is ready to go and we're going to see some really heavy hitting stuff?
I do. One of my biggest hopes is that we'll see a teaser for Gears of War 6 from the Coalition.
That would knock me. That would surprise me. But that would be cool.
And these Gears of War 5 left off in like a, I don't want to really say like a cliffhanger. There's like a really major decision that you'd have to decide. And I'm interested to see which way they're going to go, because it's almost like a, not like a light or dark path, but it's just like there's just two different paths you can choose, and one of those paths is going to be like canonical paths. So I'm curious to see which one they're going to do. And then I'm hoping that we see like I actually don't know if I hope about this, because I'm wondering if like if 343 is going to have a package to show like this is what we're planning in the future, or if they're going to take the time really to just work on that instead of preparing something to show.
Yeah,
They're going to have to show something because no one cares about Halo anymore.
You're almost
I'm serious. Like, Halo 5 is tough so much that they need to do something.
So bad. It's been so just. Not
they need to hit the red emergency button. So and then before we get into the Sony news, this is an interesting one. I don't know how I feel about this. So 2K is reportedly making a Rocket League rival, which is fine once you hear that, because Rocket League, popular game. I mean, why wouldn't another publisher be like, we should mention that? But the name of this, tell me if this just rolled off the tongue. Okay. Gravity Goal.
Hey, you want to go buy some Gravity Goal? Gravity Goal. Fucking fuck you.
The that's biggest next free to play title, Gravity Goal. Like, what the fuck is that?
I mean, goal, I could goal, see if people like, hey, you want to go play some GG or play some Double G?
God.
No. I mean, like I said, I could see how people would want to cash in on the Rocket League, how popular that is, but that is a shit name that
would not play that over
Rocket League. Yeah, it just sucks. Gravity Goal.
Gravity Goal.
So it says that this game reportedly have players controlling Tron-like bikes rather than cars, which they would use to hit a ball into their opponent's goal in high-energy 1v1, 2v2, or 3v3 matches. Gravity Goal lets users throw projectiles at opposing players to cause vehicles damage, which slows or halts movements. It was in closed alpha testing in late 2021 and free-to-play title later this year. The publisher has signed, this is about something different. Yeah, it sounds really bad.
No, thanks.
Yeah. Josh, are you saying something?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, moving on to the Sony news. This is an interesting one. Sony has reportedly set up a game preservation team. Well, whatever that means. So an employee revealed that he had joined a new department. So this guy's name is Garrett Fredley, who had previously been working as a build engineer for, what is that sound, Alex?
I'm sorry, so again, you cut off.
What's
there's
that
almost
sound?
Like a, there's like a, it's like someone hitting like a triangle.
Oh, that's our wind chime. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, okay. No, it's fine.
I didn't know if it was like a toy that your kid had or something.
Nope. They are all asleep. No, not they are, but he's asleep.
Yeah. So this guy, Garrett Fredley, who had previously been working as a build engineer for Canadian mobile developer Kabam, has now joined PlayStation as a senior build engineer. Celebrating his new employment, image on his Twitter and LinkedIn expressing his excitement at joining the new preservation team at Sony, saying, quote, "Today is my first day as a senior build engineer for PlayStation, working as one of their initial hires for the newly created preservation team. Game preservation was my first career passion. It was my first foray into the world of software engineering." Blah, blah, blah. He's telling us a life story. I don't fucking care. But yeah, this is interesting. It says it's not yet clear what his new role will entail or exactly what this new team will be doing. But it is weird because Sony doesn't seem to give a fuck about preserving their old games.
I would like to see like a daily, like just a day in his life at his new job, and just him sitting there like trying to get like wads of paper into a trash can because he's not giving anything to do. And then like I can imagine like when asked for comment from Jim Ryan goes, "Who the fuck wants playable games?" And then they move on.
Jim, what are you playing? Oh, I'm playing the brand new title from Polyphony Digital, Gran Turismo 7. Christ. But Jim, don't you want to play Gran Turismo 3? Who the fuck wants to play that?
And by the way, Jim, can you show us how to properly hold the controller?
Yeah. You mean like this? God, so bad. Fuck that guy, dude. And dude, anytime Alex, anytime this motherfucker's done an interview where someone will be like, the interviewer will ask him like, "Hey Jim, what are you playing right now?" And his answer is always whatever the most recent PlayStation exclusive title was. "What are you playing?" "Oh, I'm playing the new Ratchet and Clank game from Insomniac." It's like, oh, really? That's what you're playing? Like, it's always the newest thing. It's just fucking advertisement speak. It's so annoying.
So fucking corporate it hurts.
I know.
So fucking corporate it hurts.
And then there's one time they show them holding a controller, and it's not any way like you hold a controller normally when you game. And yeah. So people are like, he doesn't game at all. He doesn't even know how to hold a controller. Yep.
It was bad. It was almost like the camera was up, like showing like his chest up. And it's almost like he was like, oh wait, no one will know I'm playing a game if I don't hold this controller up by my eyes and like point it toward the screen.
Hey gamers, you know what this is?
The last Sony story here is actually, I think, kind of controversial. Is Sony has confirmed it is now blocking PS Plus and PlayStation Now stacking until they launch the service later in June. So pretty much right now, people were buying PlayStation Plus like year subscription cards, and they were stacking to be able to get like more years of the new PlayStation. What the fuck are they calling these?
The PlayStation Plus Essential, PlayStation Plus,
Whatever.
PlayStation Plus, I don't know.
They were stacking to be able to get more time of that at like a cheaper price, and so Sony is now blocking them from doing that. So if people that are going to like say GameStop and buying these cards are going home and putting these codes and getting a notice from Sony saying you cannot do this right now.
That's wild.
Yeah, even if your account has lapsed, they will not let you re-up your subscription before this thing. So you're basically, if your PlayStation Plus runs out tomorrow, you are stuck without PlayStation Plus until June.
That's so key, then.
Yeah, it's actually really fucking stupid.
It is really fucking dumb.
And then they also put out a conversion chart saying like, hey, when this service launches, here's when you'll be able to redeem your codes, and this is how much time that you'll get. So, is someone yelling outside?
No, that is Mr. Potato Head yelling in Toy Story.
Oh. I was like, I didn't know if you were still outside, like it was your neighbor, like fighting.
Nope, not
today. Okay. For example, a 1 month PlayStation Plus voucher will provide access to approximately 3 weeks of PlayStation Plus Extra, or 2.5 weeks of PlayStation Plus Premium. Yeah.
Why y'all gonna make this for one? Two, what the fuck? Why is everything so goddamn weird with this company? Make the fucking weirdest decisions sometimes.
This really sucks that they're doing this. I think it's entirely anti-consumer.
I don't understand what they're doing. I'm sure you have thoughts on this.
I'm very curious to see the reaction to it when it launches and the reaction to when we actually figure out what fucking games are going to be included in it.
Yeah.
And if it's really poorly received, I wonder if Sony is going to reverse course with some of the stuff. And I don't mean like say like we're not doing this anymore, but I mean more like maybe adjust pricing or something.
I really wish they would just tell us what the fucking goddamn things already. I wish they would just peel the band-aid like here's the names.
I really feel like just having three different options and having a name like these different names that they're doing, it's just gonna be so confusing. Like if you get the soccer mom Jill going into a Walmart to buy her son Timmy fucking PlayStation Plus.
Soccer mom Jill.
What the fuck is she? She's not gonna know what she's doing. She's gonna see PlayStation Plus Essential, but then she goes home and Timmy's gonna go, Mom, I wanted PlayStation Plus Premium. What the fuck?
No, that's not going to happen because no one's going to fucking want that.
They're going to be like,
Yeah. They're going to get premium. They're going to go, no, I just wanted the essential because I don't fucking care about this shit.
Yeah, it's just going to cause confusion.
No, it is. I don't. I think two would be. I think two is perfect. Three is just like, why?
Yeah.
but
yep. Well, we should find out probably the end of next month.
What games are by the way, in that scenario, it is not her son Timmy who plays soccer. It is her son Matt who plays soccer.
Just oh, there's there. Another one.
Yes, yes.
There's another kid. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't keep them straight. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to see what was the date when this thing launches.
Was it June 13th?
Something or other. June 13th or June 19th?
No,
it's the 13th because I remember going online and going, are they releasing it on Juneteenth, which is June 19th?
You did the same thing too. Because I was like, isn't that Juneteenth? No, June 19th.
But Juneteenth is June 19th, and they're releasing it on June.
So it is June. It is June 13th, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so what's funny about this is the day before this launches, Microsoft's going to drop their big old nutsack on it. And be like, here's all the cool Game Pass shit. That's here's awesome. All our cool new announcements. Fuck your Sony shit.
Yep. they're gonna be putting their Duke on them.
Yep. Yeah. So that's gonna be funny. But yeah. So that's it for the news, and now we are going to move on to.
There's some big story you didn't talk about.
Okay, well, enlighten me.
Well, yeah, I do have some stories here, okay. Mister. Right. Well, I look at news, but I don't bring the big news in.
Well, forgive me for not wanting to have like 30 fucking stories.
Okay. I that's fair, but there's a couple, kind of big ones. So this one, it is Ubisoft reportedly being targeted for acquisition, and. So there's apparently some private.
That's old news. Vivendi doesn't want them anymore.
No, there's apparently some private equity firms such as Blackstone Incorporated or KKR and Company.
I thought Elon was buying Twitter.
are considering a takeover of Ubisoft, and it's I think it's very interesting because this isn't like. Microsoft buying Activision or Bethesda. This isn't a game developer buying a game developer. This is a private equity firm buying a game publisher, and it just I just don't know if they would have the best intentions. It makes me wonder if they would just try to throw like I don't want to say necessarily microtransactions, but like what's that shit so many people are afraid of going in the games?
NFTs and shit.
NFTs and shit. Just trying to like drive, get as much money as possible out of these products, and I don't know. Like this could either be the best thing that happened to Ubisoft or the worst thing that happened to Ubisoft. I feel like I could totally imagine a scenario in which they're bought by a private equity firm and this company just drives it into the ground and then all their IPs are sold off.
Do you guys think there'll be any announcements before any of these summer stuff starts happening?
I don't think they sell either. I mean, I don't see why Yves Guillemot would be okay with this and not okay with Vivendi. So, and he was very staunchly like against Vivendi taking over. So I don't think this is going to happen.
But him and his family only own 15% of Ubisoft. I mean, I don't know. And then the other kind of big Ubisoft story is that they're shutting down online services for over 90 older games.
Damn.
And some of these are like, whatever. But Alex, it has been many a year since I have heard the name On Live. Do you remember On Live?
No, I don't actually.
On Live was like a. It was like a website to where, not a website. It was a box you bought, and
I bought
this was back in like the early 2012 or something, and you could stream games, and it was never less successful. But a bunch of these games are their servers for on live are being disconnected, which it made a lot of people go, those servers are still active, like who is using them? Such as like Assassin's Creed Revelations for on live is being shut down, Driver San Francisco on live is being shut down. But then you got some other online services such as Hawks and Hawks 2 on PS3 and 360 being shut down, a bunch of just dance games, some Might and Magic games, some Prince of Persia games for 360 and PS3 generation, some Rayman games, let's see, a bunch of Splinter Cell games. So I mean, it's Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2. So I mean, it's definitely, you know, a lot of games are being shut down for good. But I mean, it's just, you'll still be able to download these games if you own them, like on PS3 or 360. It's just the online services won't work for them anymore. But what's weird is that, so Alex, if you played an Ubisoft game in the past, did you do like the Ubisoft, like the points thing they had to where?
Sometimes, not all the time, because I not always remember my past.
Yeah. So, for example, like if you play like a Far Cry game and you did some stuff, there's almost like achievements. You did some stuff in the game, you get some Ubisoft points. You can go in, you can unlock special content for the game. Now, all that content was already baked into the game. It's on the game. You just couldn't access it unless you redeemed it. Well, you can still go in and redeem these things. You just, once you redeem them, though, you can't get them in the game.
Oh, really?
Why would you redeem it then?
Exactly. There's no point.
Gotta redeem it, bro.
So, I mean, it's...
That's weird. It makes sense, because if it's not being used, why not just shut down the...
Yeah, it's none of this is really going to affect a whole lot of gamers, but it is some gaming history coming to an end.
Yeah, it sucks because, like we were talking, I think preservation. I don't think I know preservation games is very important. We should
Scrabble 2007 and 2009 on PC are being shut down. Like what are the Scrabble fans going to do? They can't play with each other anymore.
They're gonna actually have to go outside and play Scrabble. So,
that's all I got
for news.
Okay, some big stories.
hey, you didn't talk about Sonic games being delisted.
Well, you don't fucking.
Oh yeah, I actually forgot about that. I didn't see it when I was looking at the news.
Listen. Again, another thing Jeff Gerstmann says that I agree with. Is Sonic is not great. Like, I'm sorry. Sonic 1 is okay, and the rest are like, sure, those are games.
Their voicemail podcast, someone had
Oh my god.
Though, did you listen to this?
I look, the voicemail dump truck is my favorite fucking thing to do on the internet. I literally was telling my friend, like, dude, you gotta listen to this? Like, there's sometimes games, but it's mostly just these dudes talking about their life.
Dude, I loved one guy who was like, I don't like the extreme disrespect you give towards Sonic Adventures 1 and 2. And when it's done, Jeff is like, imagine, like, really standing up for those absolute shit games. He's like, especially Sonic Adventures 1. Like, but yeah, so now we're going to go into our games of the generation for the 8th generation. Which is the Xbox One, PS4, and the Wii U. Josh, I'll have you go first, and you can pick which console we start with.
Let's get Wii U out of the way.
Okay.
I mean, let's just get it done so we can go into the bowels of history where it belongs. Okay. Yes. So now, look, let's be honest. The Wii U, while it was a commercial failure for Nintendo's part, and almost drove them to the end of their existence as a game publisher and console maker.
No, I wouldn't say that.
The console itself does have its redeeming qualities. It's not an awful console, and it does have some good games. The Wii U Pro controller isn't the worst controller ever. It's certainly not the best, but it's not the worst ever. So I mean, it's not the worst console ever. It's not the
but Atari. We're talking about the games, yes, Josh. Not the controllers. It the is. Games.
You're right. It's not the Atari Jaguar. You know, so. The Wii U, when you think about the best games for it, I mean, I only have two, honestly, and that's okay. Just
I have three.
So
enlighten me on your
so my number two is Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. And at
was
the
it
time,
called just Super Smash Bros. For Wii U?
It was
yes. And then because they had because they also had Super Smash Bros. For 3DS at launch at right at the same time.
Is that also just called Super Smash Bros. 3DS?
Yeah, so the 3DS version was pretty much the same thing as the Wii U version. Obviously, it looked a little bit different because the 3DS isn't as powerful. But it was pretty much the same game. So Super Smash Bros. For Wii U at the time was, in my opinion, the best Super Smash Bros. Game to come out so far. And it had a lot of good characters, a lot of cool things I added to it. Definitely no Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but it was a very good Super Smash Bros. Game. And I mean, I guess that's really all I have to say about it because I'm trying to remember some of the new characters they introduced for it, and I can't really even because like all the characters I can think of it were in Ultimate. And I can't remember what characters really were added.
Yeah, the Smash Bros. For Wii U is very forgettable to me. Because obviously I remember Melee, I remember Brawl, and Ultimate. Wii U is just like a... I hardly remember it.
But I remember it being a good game. It was a very good Super Smash Bros. Game.
Sure.
But Super Smash Bros. Ultimate just kind of put it into obscurity. So.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the game that everyone thinks of when they think Nintendo nowadays, I mean, it's Zelda Breath of the Wild. And a lot of people think of that as a Switch game, but it was a cross-platform game. It came out for... The game was actually developed for Wii U.
I have an argument. Finished, but I have an argument.
The game was developed for Wii U at the start. And then they ported it to Switch when the Wii U was failing and they came up with new hardware. And in my opinion, and actually if you watch some videos on YouTube, like comparison videos, in some aspects, Breath of the Wild actually runs better on Wii U than it does on Switch. And I actually like the gamepad on the Wii U. Because you can actually look down all your inventory is on the Wii U. What was it called, Andrew?
There's just a Wii U gamepad.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was called like something else. So yeah, all your inventory is on the Wii U gamepad. Your there's like special puzzles that you'd have to use the gamepad for. And I'm not gonna go on the soapbox and say the Wii U version was a superior version, but I will say the Wii U version does have its merits. Andrew, you said you have arguments.
Yeah, I think that's a shit choice. And here's why. We are supposed to be talking about the generational defining games.
Okay.
If you came to me and said, I have a Wii U right here. Here's a list of all the games. Tell me the games that are the generational defining games. I would know, and I wouldn't even think to include Breath of the Wild. Because, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, that's God bless
you. Yep. Because, I'm sorry, but Breath of the Wild is a fucking Switch game. It launched with the Switch. Everyone played it on the Switch. Few people play on a Wii U, sure. Because it released there as a fucking afterthought. That is not a generational defining game. It's not. I have the generational defining games.
What are they, Andrew? What do you
so
have to say about
my
this?
Number three was Mario Maker.
Oh, I didn't know Mario Maker came up.
Yeah, the first Mario Maker came out on the Wii U. It was actually a pretty big deal when it first came out. Yeah. I would even dare say that it made a bigger impact than what Mario Maker 2 made on the Switch. Mario Maker 2 kind of came and went. No one even talks about the game anymore. But the first Mario Maker was huge when it came out. So I think that's definitely a defining game for the console. Splatoon. Splatoon got its first game on Wii U. Actually did very well on the Wii U. One of the few games that did very well. I think even that it sold like 7 million copies. And for a system that only sold 13.8 million, that's a pretty damn good attach rate.
Yeah.
That's my number two. My number one, obviously, you could argue and you'd be correct that it's better on Switch, but Mario Kart 8, when it came out on the Wii U, was a defining for the Wii U because it was the best Mario Kart to release. And it's still the best Mario Kart out there. and so I believe that is the number one defining game on Wii U. Breath of the Wild is a Switch game, damn it.
Okay, real quick before Alex goes. Would you consider Twilight Princess? Do you consider that a GameCube game or a Wii game?
I personally would consider it a GameCube game, but it's not. It's a Wii game.
Argument one.
No.
Andrew considers it a GameCube game.
I'm saying that because that's where I originally played it. I played it on the GameCube, but that game sold the vast majority of its copies on a Wii, and that is where the vast majority of people played it. So therefore, I would say Nintendo actually only even produced like 50,000 copies of it on the GameCube. Like, that's it. It was actually hard to find. Like, if you didn't get it on day one, it was really hard to find it on GameCube after that. So that, to me, even though I originally played it on the GameCube, that's a Wii game.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, it did launch over or around a month earlier on Wii than GameCube.
Yeah.
But I do not stand down. I firmly think that Breath of the Wild is just as much a Wii game as it is.
Josh.
What?
Stand down. All right, Alex, do you have, I know you didn't, you said you didn't really play a whole lot of Wii, but you have
played none. I mean, I played like maybe an hour of Wind Waker. That's it. Like, I never had it long enough to play really a lot of games. I think I played like an hour of Wind Waker and said, wow, this is fucking controller is bad, and then like traded or something. Or I got another console, I don't know. Yeah, I never really played a lot of it, so I don't have any.
Yeah, that gamepad's real bad.
It's not great, dude.
Yeah,
but it's crazy how it's crazy how it led to the Switch. How in 5 short years they decided, you know what? The cool part of this was tablet. So let's make it better.
Well, I mean, it was because when the Wii U came out, honestly, there really was a lot of people that were like, so I'm playing it on the gamepad, how far can I get with it? And they're
right.
Like, oh, you can get about 6 to 8 feet away from the Wii U, and you're like, like, okay, so I still have to be in my living room to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point?
right.
Yeah.
When I first got it, it was like, dude, this is such a cool idea. Like, oh, Sarah, you can fucking, you know, you can watch TV and I can play video games. Awesome. And I was like, oh, God, fuck.
I think another thing going against it was the screen on the gamepad was such poor quality to where you could just let it sit and not do anything with it, and it would just collect dust, and then it would just the screen just. I mean, I think it was a. I don't even know if
it was
720p.
Actually, I think is what it ran at. I don't even think it was 720. Because the Switch screen is 720. But so yeah, so that's the Wii U. Alex, I will let you start next.
It was SD. It was 480.
Oh, okay. Wow. So Alex, would you want to go with the Xbox One or the
Wii? Yeah, let's do the Xbox
or,
One.
PS4, sorry. Xbox One. Okay.
Okay, so Xbox One. So I have three games. I will start with my number three, which is Sunset Overdrive. It deserves a lot of praise. It deserves a lot more love. It is a very cool game. It is the first Xbox exclusive I played, and it didn't like hook me on the Xbox One, but it was like, man, this game is fucking cool. And then I never really played another good.
I actually forgot all about that game, and probably would have included it on my list had I remembered it.
I tried to remember because I was like, man, this game is totally.
I actually had that included on my as my number three.
Okay. And my number two is Red Dead Redemption 2. This is where I played the game, is on Xbox. And I think that Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of the best storytelling games of all time. I think it has a lot to make up for in the fact that it's kind of slow at times, where you have to do so many button presses or so many animations. Mm-hmm. It kind of slows down the gameplays at times, but it is still one of the greatest games ever made. It is super just... I 100% beat the game. I don't think I've beaten a Rockstar game before. I think I've probably beaten Red Dead Redemption. But...
Dude, yeah, isn't it crazy how that game felt like it was in development forever? We were waiting so long just to even hear they're making it. And that game is now already 3.5 years old.
Dude, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy how quick that game bought it. But my number one is my personal favorite game I played on the Xbox One. I think it's I put it on there for personal reasons. I'm going with PUBG. So PUBG,
okay,
is besides Fortnite, the first battle royale game I played on consoles, and it was just such a weird, interesting concept to me back then. This game, like as soon as it released on console, really just gravitated towards me. It really spoke to me, and I became obsessed with it for a long time. And it kind of defined my generation of the Xbox One, which was mostly just online games. I played a decent amount of single player stuff because that's what I had at the time. But the best experiences single player are on PlayStation 4, but all the best online experiences are on Xbox One. So to me, what defined that generation for me and what I think would be the top game in my eyes is PUBG.
Yeah, I mean, I have they're not on my list, but I have like a special mentions, and I had Fortnite and PUBG on there, to where it's like these games, they, you know, you think back in like the latter aughts, 2007, 2008, 2009, you think of like how Call of Duty and like online multiplayer, you know, like Halo, and how it just defined like the 360 generation. And then these Battle Royale games came out, and it's kind of like the same thing, to where it's like everyone is talking about Battle Royales. It was like such a like a revolutionary like advancement in multiplayer games. And that's, you know, I would say if in terms of multiplayer, that's what the last generation, that's what it's really about, is this Battle Royale games.
Yeah. For me, this Xbox One was hard for me to come up with, because I get what you guys are saying about those games. But for me, I don't see those games as... I could see those as personally defining, but I don't see them as generational defining for the console. So it was kind of hard for me because Xbox had so few exclusives.
Yeah.
Because obviously for a PS4, It's easy. You could just rattle off three just extremely fast exclusives. Be like, these are great games. Xbox is hard to do that. But for
and then you even think of like the third party games. So many third party games ran better on PS4.
Yeah. But for me, number three, I had the Master Chief Collection.
I didn't play much of it. I played, like I said, you know what I played with that? The online portion of it. God forbid.
Yeah. so I think that if someone came to me and was like, what is the best online game for Xbox One, I would probably give it a Master Chief Collection because you get all the Halos. My number two was Red Dead Redemption 2, same as Alex. And my number one, I went with Witcher 3. I cool. think is
that where you played it?
Yeah, it's where I originally played it, yeah. And God, yeah, I played it on the base Xbox One when it first came out. Like, God, really? Well, yeah, because it came out in 2015. God, that game had to run like fucking shit. Exactly. I don't even remember because you know I've played it on PC and like the 1X and stuff since. So, God, and I played it on Switch too, and it definitely ran like shit on the Switch. So it wasn't that bad on the base Xbox One, but so yeah. So those are my Xbox One games. Now, so we all did Xbox, right?
I didn't say mine yet.
Oh, you didn't say yours yet. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So I had number three was Sunset Overdrive. Number two for more for Xbox than for PlayStation, I think, is so I was thinking about generation defining. I went with Titanfall 2.
Oh my god, I didn't look at that game.
Yeah.
Now Titanfall was an Xbox exclusive and PC. Mm-hmm. PlayStation didn't get it. And then when Titanfall 2 came out, it improved on pretty much everything. And now it was multi-platform. PlayStation got it. But a lot of people, when you thought about Titanfall 2, they still attributed Xbox. And that game had... I have yet to play it. But I've heard so many people say that the single-player campaign in Titanfall 2 is one of the best shooter campaigns ever made. Yeah. Andrew, have you played it?
I played some of it. I personally, when I played it, I didn't think it was that special.
Okay.
But that's just me. Obviously, a bunch of people in the industry love it, so I can't take that away from them. But it didn't speak to me as something that was like... Because when I think of, like, shooter campaigns, I think of, like, Bioshock.
Okay.
And so, playing this was definitely not as great story-wise as like a Bioshock. The gameplay is there. The gameplay is fun. But if that's the only thing that people love about it, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But I want a story that's more engrossing, like story-wise, and not just gameplay.
And then number one, it was Witcher 3, Andrew Stolen Thunder. Witcher 3 it's definitely up. I might even put him in like my top five games of all time. Like it's just such a great game, and one of those games that it took me. It wasn't until my third try getting into it that it finally clicked with me. And the first couple of times I tried it, I put like maybe like 10 hours into it each time, and I was like, I just can't get into it. But when the third time it was just the right time in my life, I guess, and it just clicked. And I played through it, and I just loved it so much. And I loved the characters, and I loved Geralt as a character, and how he's like this mutant who is not supposed to have any feelings, but he does, and he cares about the people around him. As long as you're making those decisions, you can choose to be you can choose to be a jackass and not care about anybody in the game. But it's there's so so many great characters and so many, so many great memorable quests. So yeah, that's my number one.
Cool. And then moving on to the, I would argue the best console of the eighth generation, the PlayStation 4. I'll go ahead and start. I had three for this one, and my number three, just happening to look at it as a from an outside view, I went with Bloodborne. Because
okay,
obviously, if you look at a generational defining game, so many people hold this high up on their pedestal as the best PlayStation 4 game. So I have to just include that just from the fandom of this game. I mean, I think that if this game got announced for a like a PlayStation 5 like remaster, where they were going to give it like the 60 frames and have it output in 4K, whatever, I think that this could very well become the best-selling PlayStation 5 game so far. That is how bad people want this game. I don't think it's going to happen. but people would love it. And my reasoning for that is I think that if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. And I think that Sony knows that they can't do it without From Software's help. And I don't think From Software has any desire to do that. I think that they just want to keep moving on doing new stuff, and they don't care about going back to old stuff. And that game has been proven. People who have gone in and looked at the innards of that game have seen that, like, man, this game was built in a really weird way. And I think that Sony can't figure out how to actually get a good like 60 frame like remaster out of it. So I don't think it's gonna happen. My number two is Uncharted 4. I was gonna have The Last of Us Part Two here, but as a generational defining game, there were so many people that didn't actually like Last of Us Two because of how controversial the story was. And Uncharted 4 was much more universally praised that I think it's a better idea to have that one here.
Okay.
And then my number one would be God of War.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue that God of War should be in the top three.
It's hard to argue that God of War might not be the best game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of the best games of all time. And yeah, it would hard to not point someone to that game when talking about a PS4. Alex, you want to go next? Or Josh, doesn't matter.
Alex,
when do you fucking talk? Do it.
Josh, why don't
okay.
you
go? Okay, go. So my number three, I had Uncharted 4 as my number three. Just great game and I need to get back and finish the PS5 room yesterday. My number two was Spider-Man.
And nice.
I think, like, you know, think of Sunset Overdrive, and you can see the DNA in Insomniac going into Spider-Man. And I think they really started this really great line of Marvel games that are going to be on PlayStation, whether it's Spider-Man or I think Wolverine is going to be something special, at least.
Okay.
And my number one, quite controversial, My Name Is Mayo. I'm joking. my number one,
how did I not pick that one?
My number one is God of War. My Name Is Mayo is a ridiculously easy, stupid game where you can get a platinum really, really, really quickly. But God of War, I mean, Andrew already said that it's this genre defining game. Like, most people thought the game was going to be good. But I think not a lot of people thought the game was going to be something so special. And I don't think there's many people who thought that Kratos could be taken as like this one note character who it was this, I just need to kill all the gods and turn him into like a family man who cares about this son that he has and clearly cared about this woman he was, I don't know if married to or just a woman he was with and who bared his child and wanted to pay her respect by taking her ashes up the top of a mountain. I mean, just such a great game.
Okay. So I'll go next. Sorry, I'm getting my DoorDash off of my porch
Okay, we got it. DoorDash. I'm sorry. We have to stop right now.
Okay,
what did you get DoorDashed?
We got some nuggets and some Frosties.
Nice. And you pay $20 in delivery fee, right?
I don't give a fuck how much it is, bro. I'm so lazy. You know, let me go to the standard. So we use DoorDash so much. We've been using it. We used it like as soon as the pandemic hit. And we literally just keep using it. Dude, it's amazing. Now that I live in a house, nothing gets fucking sent to a different address. It's awesome. Yeah. All my stuff actually shows up. It's amazing.
Dude, how nice is it just because I remember you would like put these posts on Facebook being like, hey, did anyone get this package? It was supposed to go to my apartment, and who the fuck else got it?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It was great, man. It was great that everything just got lost on time. Yeah. It's amazing. It's so great. But, you know what? Let me talk about PlayStation. So, I got three games. They're very similar to yours. Freedom. Number three, Spider-Man. I bought PlayStation 4 with a 1 terabyte hard drive that was inserted, or like that was, you know, like put into it off of Facebook, like $200, because I wanted to play Spider-Man so badly. I was like, holy fuck, I have to play this game. I have to buy another PlayStation because I sold mine or something happened to it or et cetera, et cetera.
You got delivered to the wrong address.
Got delivered to the wrong address, yeah. Delivered to the wrong address. My second one is Last of Us 2. I think Last of Us 2 is also one of those I don't know how to explain it. One of those tentpole games for narratives. I think it really pushed things forward. I think it really pushed what you can do in a video game and how realistic you can make things look and be. I think it's an amazing feat in the technology of video games and what you can do with them. And I think it's really fun. But my number one is going to surprise both of you. And it is Sonic Mania, guys. Just Sonic Mania. Sonic Mania is a great game.
That's our show, guys.
No, it's fucking God of War. Because not only did I want to play Spider-Man, I also really wanted to play God of War. And I played it. I started my new job at Costco. And I went to work and I chucked out the three people that I knew played video games. Like, look. You have PlayStation. If you don't play this game, you're fucking up. It is so fucking good. Mm-hmm. And I never liked any of the God of War games. I thought they were, I'm still in the combat. The story was kind of whatever. But this was crazy. This is what kind of convinced me that Sony is really good at making a story. Because I hadn't really known because I didn't play a lot of PlayStation games. But oh my God. The story alone in the game, the gameplay, the axe. How fucking unique that X felt and how different that was in terms of gameplay. It was crazy. It's God of War rules, man. God of War is one of my favorite games. And now I'm going to keep talking about it. Probably going to go download it. I really like God of War.
It really upsets me in my core that we still have yet to get a Star Wars game in which throwing a lightsaber feels as good as throwing the axe in God of War.
Agreed. And I actually, one game I forgot to mention I played was a little bit of Jedi Fallen Order. But I agree 100%. Like, if that felt the way that it felt throwing that axe, oh boy, that'd be something.
Yeah.
So... back to DoorDash for a second.
Okay, yeah,
so back in Christmas of 2020, I got from my employer a $100 DoorDash gift card. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. I've never used DoorDash before. And I proceed to use it three times and my $100 was just done.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm glad I got my food. I'm glad I, you know, like it was good and everything, but it was like I would not play my own money for that much. And I had no problem spending someone else's money, but I was like, for example, I was at work and I want some Burger King. I got two sandwiches, a large and a large drink, and it cost me like almost $30. And I was like, this is ridiculous. But at the same time though, like, you know, it's employing some people, and if you're paying for the convenience, so if people want to keep doing that, then it's keeping people employed. So
yep.
Anything else about video games 8th generation that you guys want to discuss?
No, I think we covered them. I think really when I look back and think of the generation 8, I just keep thinking of PlayStation 4. That's really the only thing I've been. But they released industry changing games in almost every step of the way. And that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
I will say though that Gen 8 had some really good games across the three consoles. However, I feel like when it comes to IP, I feel like the 360 PS3 generation was much better.
Yeah, but I think that's because it started costing so much to make games that people didn't want to take as much bigger risk. I think we've talked about this before, is what are the generation the console is best known for. And I think we've all agreed that like the 360 PS3 was really the rise of online gaming.
Yeah.
And I think I can look at last generation and say that like, on one hand, you had the rise of the first party Sony game, of the like the third person action game, because that's pretty much what all their exclusives are nowadays. It's just much. Like the third person story driven action game. And then on the other hand, I think you have the rise of the battle royale genre.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
I
agree. So I mean, it'll be interesting once the PS5 and Xbox Series generation is done, it'll be interesting to look back and think, what was that generation known for?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, right now it's known for you can't fucking buy them.
Yep. It's known for that. It's known for all of the games are getting fucking delayed.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's so
over to Ludia. Yep. So
here at the end of the podcast, Alex, I want to ask you real quick. Do you have any plans this upcoming Monday?
I don't know.
Because I was going to ask if you would want to do a State of the Galaxy Star Wars podcast for May 4th.
Oh, okay. Let me get back to you.
Oh my god, you fucking tomorrow. Dorks.
Because that's a really good idea. Because I was thinking about something for that too. Okay. I like that. Well, Andrew, on Monday, guess what you can do? Kiss my white ass.
Yeah, you can
that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, you can bend over and just take a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can take this Jar Jar Binks, you know what I'm saying?
or if you're not available Monday, we can always just like do a Friday and then just do that as our weekly podcast. But
okay. Yeah, I will for sure let you know tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, boys. Well, we got nothing else to say. I'm gonna go get this Wendy's.
All right. You enjoy your Frosties.
Did you get normal nuggets or spicy nuggets?
Nuggets. I'm not a spicy guy either.
Hey, some people like the spicy nugs. So
I know. And those people are people.
What kind of sauce you dunk them nugs into?
Like ranch or barbecue.
Okay.
It's sweet and sour, man. Sweet and sour all the way.
Some of their sweet and sour is pretty good.
So. Yeah. Okay.
All right, I'm gonna go eat this food. I'll talk to you.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Later.
Peace.